Good afternoon. Good morning. My name is Vincent Watkins. I'm the Executive Secretary for the Return to Flight Task Group. We welcome the public as well as the press to our public meeting. Charts are available for this presentation at our returntoflight.org website. And also the presentation is being webcast on our website as well, so members or public and press can monitor via a listen-only connection.
Andrew's back.
Say thanks, Bill. I'll also mention that the teleconference audio is being recorded. I'll also remember or remind our members to mute their phones when they're talking and mute it when they're not talking. And to also mention the chart numbers as they go through the charts. I think that's mainly Cy Rubenstein, but also to announce themselves as they speak. I'm going to conduct the official roll call. We have joining us today our two co-chairmen. Lieutenant General Tom Stafford is on with us. And if you can just make sure that you hear me loud and clear and just answer. Lieutenant General Stafford, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. We have Mr. Richard Covey.
I've got you.
We have our ex-officio member from headquarters, Mr. Jim Lloyd.
Present.
Representing the management panel, we have Major General Bill Anders. Dr. Walter Broadnax.
Here.
Mr. Gary Geyer.
Here.
Mrs. Susan Livingston.
Here.
Mr. Bill Wagner.
Here.
Representing the tech panel as lead, Mr. Joe Cozzopoli.
Here.
Tech panel members, Mr. Benjamin Cosgrove.
Here.
Dr. Charles Daniel.
Here.
Mr. Richard Coors.
Here.
Mr. Cy Rubenstein.
Here.
Representing the operations panel lead, Colonel Jim Adamson.
Here.
Other operations panel members, Lieutenant General Forrest McCartney.
Here.
Dr. Rosemary O'Leary.
Here.
Mr. Bob Seek.
Here.
And Dr. Kathy Thornton.
Here.
Are there any other members that are on the net that I did not call?
Tom Tate here.
Tom Tate. Okay, welcome, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess we're ready to move on into our opening remarks from our
Okay, thank you, Vincent. I want to welcome all of our task group members that have called in and the and those of the public and press that are listening in. This is a public meeting of the Return to Flight Task Group. And although our preferred method of meeting to deliberate and bring about recommendations for how we disposition CABE recommendations is by face-to-face meetings. We have acknowledged that in order to be able to move our work forward and complete the work in an expeditious manner, that having these teleconference type of plenaries is warranted, and in the past we've been successful in using it as a way between our face-to-face plenaries to bring closure to some issues. And so this is a continuation of that. Our next public meeting is anticipated to be at the end of our plenary session in March in Houston. So this is an opportunity prior to that to be able to disposition recommendations that have been brought to a state of review before that. Unfortunately, we only have one today that we're going to be able to discuss and hopefully bring some closure to. But one is a step forward, and where we'd like to have had more, we'll deal with the one that we do have. The process that we have gone through to prepare for this plenary session parallels the actions we have for our face-to-face, and that the test the panel's appropriate panel, in this case it will be a technical panel, has conducted their fact-finding, has gotten closure information or packages, depending upon the status of the particular recommendation that's under review, has taken that data and information, put it into a set of charts that are to be presented to the entire task group. Those charts have been distributed along with the closure packages to the task group members who have had the opportunity, whether they're on this teleconference or not, to review the data and information, ask clarification questions to the presenting panel and member, and get answers as they can to that. And in the case if they were unable to participate in this meeting and had some concern or issue, they had the ability to provide that information to me as their proxy to bring forward. So that's the process that we have had used in the past and the one that we use this time. And if we should get into a situation of doing the teleconference types of public meetings and plenaries in the future, we would follow that process again. If chart two, people could move, look at chart two, which is our agenda. We are clearly in the first part of it with me making some introductory remarks. We'll move on for me to Joe Cuz for some comments from the technical panel, and then Cy Rubenstein will present the presentation on recommendation 3.3-1 from the CABE. And then we'll summarize and move on. So that's the agenda. I would ask at this time, General Stafford, if you have any additional opening comments.
No, do not.
Okay. Then I'm going to turn the floor over, virtual floor, if you would, to Joe Cuzzopoli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to recognize Mr. Cy Rubenstein for his outstanding work on the Stafford-Covey technical panel. Cy has extensive engineering knowledge and he has extreme hardware experience in building the space shuttle orbiter, and has been very valuable in assessing NASA's implementation plans and actions. The tech panel would like to thank him for his dedicated time and service. Cy is here today to present the tech panel's recommendations on item 3.3.1, which is the reinforced carbon-carbon non-destructive inspection, verifying the structural integrity prior to flight. His assessment is based on NASA's implementation plans and actions that NASA has taken. With that, Cy, is yours.
Thank you, Joe. This is Mr. Rubenstein. I'm dealing with chart number 6. Just to refresh everybody's memory, the CAIB recommendation was to develop and implement a comprehensive inspection plan, determine RCC structural integrity, and then use advanced NDI techniques as appropriate. On chart number 7, as we as a task group understood, the issue was to remove all RCC from the vehicles and re-baseline them by recycling them through the original manufacturing process to make sure they would meet the original acceptance criteria, and in that process, as appropriate, use advanced technology. And then to pursue any advanced techniques for inspecting the vehicle, inspecting the RCC without having to remove them from the vehicle. And chart number 8, just to remind everybody again, we did review this item in April of 2004 at a plenary. At that time, we gave the item a conditional closure based on the plans that we saw at the time, and we left them with 5 items to complete. One was to investigate an OV-105 nose cap assembly anomaly that was discovered in the refurbishment, then to update the documentation, close all material review dispositions and problem reports, and then receive additional documentation on the program requirements, a directive, and to close a request for information on page number 9. In summary of these 5 items, we have received the requested documentation. The 105 nose cap itself was examined in detail, as a defect was found that occurred in the second stage of the refurbishment process. This was the first time that nose cap had gone through refurbishment. The defect was visibly observable. All RCC hardware had gone through the same exact refurbishment process without incident. All RCC hardware has been subject to a non-destructive evaluation using thermography, in addition to its X-ray, eddy current, and ultrasonic techniques. And any similar anomaly would have been detected through NDE, and no additional anomalies were found. All MRs and PRs from the detailed RCC inspection have been closed, and all technical changes to the OMRSD, which is the document that defines the checkout process, and the process that will be used for post 114 turnaround, we reviewed those contents. The technical database that has been formed during the inspection and non-destructive evaluation was taken off the vehicle and also compared with a subset of samples taken on the vehicle to show that the off-vehicle and on-vehicle images can be properly compared to ensure on the recycle that the condition of the RCC is intact. In addition, remind everybody, the RCC goes through a visual inspection and a tactile inspection. Any question on what has been accomplished to date?
Sai, this is Susan Livingston from the management panel. Going back to the rebaselining of the RCC and the standards that the vendor used, we both all know that NASA has been doing a huge amount of debris tolerance modeling and testing on both the tiles and the RCC. Can you expand a little bit about what the vendor inspections were and what the new modeling techniques might have meant?
Yes, the objective of this test, just to remind everybody, was to ensure what has been or was on the vehicle has not been damaged by flight, and we have what we have. It's not a debris-sensitive technique relative to the inspection. The inspection, again, was based on X-ray, ultrasonics, and eddy current, exactly the same processes used in the original manufacture, and the standard was to ensure that the as-built condition has been retained. The only case where current environments come to play is relative to the current certification mission, which is called a heavyweight space station mission. So any defect that's found or observed in any of the processing is always assessed against the latest certification mission database. All the work that's going on relative to debris modeling really is independent of ensuring this process. So they're really separate subjects, Susan. However, the database, the technology that we are using in NDE has been successful and shown to be successful for detecting what we call the critical smallest crack that could occur that would damage RCC relative to flight, the 0.020-inch by roughly 1-inch crack that would now be considered a critical crack, can be found by NDE techniques. And that is the best linkage I know between the two issues.
Okay, and the modeling that is going on debris tolerance then on RCC will be considered as part of another CABE recommendation? And
correct. That's 332 and 333. In addition, I forgot to note that the 105 nose cap that had the anomaly will not fly. It's been taken off the vehicle and is being dissected to continue investigation of properties of the nose cap. 332 will close the issue on RCC, the one you were concerned about.
And just one other, this is Susan Livingston again, just one other clarification from our own Return to Flight Task Group interim report that was just issued in January. There was a mention that there had been some voids that were found and some were deemed acceptable, and there were analyses that were going on other of these voids. Can you just expand on where we're at on that a bit?
Yeah, all what's called MRs, manufacturing reports, and PR problem reports have been cleared relative to the certification requirements. There are no open issues on any of the RCC components.
Okay, thank you.
As such, It is our assessment that NASA on chart.
I just want to ask if there's any other questions, clarifications for Cy at this point.
Yeah, this is Bob Sieg. Cy, you mentioned the most of the NDE that was done on the RCC, of course, was done back at the vendor to recertify it for 114. And since then, it obviously had it was shipped and had extensive handling in reinstalling it on the vehicle. Could you characterize the type of inspections that have been done since it was, you know, went through all that handling and now it's finished because it's installed on the vehicle to certify it?
All received components went through NDE, and a database was formed to prep it for return to flight to make sure we had the accurate database for evaluation. Only a few panels were subject to on-vehicle NDE to show that can be done. Everything else was done to the normal OMRSD requirements post-installation, which includes manual observation, inspection, and tactile touching as necessary, although in a ASC environment, there is no heating or any of those sources that could cause an underlying debond or void. So it was limited NDE on vehicle to ensure that the process for turnaround would work. That answer your question, Bob?
Yes, thanks, Cy.
Any other questions? Clarifications? All right, Cy, back to you.
So therefore, we recommend that NASA has met the intent of the CAB recommendation that we accept it for full closure, and that the long-term management and watching of progress be transferred. It'll be transitioned to the Aerospace Safety Panel to ensure the NDE inspections of RCC continue for future flights.
Okay. I guess I would ask, I don't know if Dr. Crippen's on yet, but as far as the last bullet, any comment, I guess, from a standpoint of the Aerospace Safety Advisory Panel picking this up, is there any thoughts from people who work with the panel as to whether that makes sense or not?
Mr. Chairman, this is Joe Cazapoli again. On the April the 6th at JPL, we need to present this to the advisory safety panel to monitor the exact work activity after the first flight, and we will be turning over them any open certifications, any open work that they have to look at that particular time.
Okay, thank you. So we've closed, that's where we close the loop with them then.
That's right, sir.
Okay, very good. Very good. Any other discussion relative to the recommendation made by the technical panel? If not, unless someone has an objection, I recommend that based on the closure data submitted by NASA, the technical panel's presentation, and our deliberation here today, that we reflect in the record that the task group believes that NASA has met the intent of the CABE recommendation, and that we're going to close our assessment under that condition of recommendation 3.3-1. That being done, we have no other agenda items for this this plenary or this public meeting, and so I don't believe we took any actions other than I'll say it's a comment or observation, which is the action that the technical panel already has, which is to close the loop with the Aerospace Safety Advisory Panel relative to their longer-term oversight of the NDE process relative to RCC, and I believe that's probably it. So I have no other comments. Vincent, do you have any other comments for the panel or task group?
The only comments we have, Dick, is I just want to thank the members for taking time out to participate in the public meeting. And I want to also note for the media that there will be a media news conference at 1 o'clock Eastern time, and it will follow this event. And I think that's it for the public meeting. We're ready to adjourn.
Okay. Well, my thanks to everybody, and we'll continue to press forward as we try to bring more of these to a closure and anticipation, or preparation for closure anticipation of our plenary session next month. Thank you.